Hello, everybody. Tashi delay. Namaste. Hola. Hello, all the different languages. Nice to see everybody. I just wanted to say hello today and talk a little bit about something that I know a lot about, which is samsara. Samsara is very difficult. So there's infinite suffering. And when you practice the Dharma, there's something called the four thoughts that turn the mind. One is a precious human life, two, impermanence and death, three, karma, four, samsara. And today I was reminded about samsara because I went into Facebook and I saw a few different people had difficulty this morning, and it's a reminder that we have been born into human bodies as a result of past karma that we've created in lives before this life. And we are living in what the Buddha taught is called samsara, which is this circular, repetitive experience of birth, old age, sickness, deterioration, death. And then you take a new body, birth, old age, sickness, deterioration, death. It happens again and again. And according to Buddhism, we have experienced this for infinite lifetimes. They call it the time, since time without beginning, or since beginningless time, meaning there's no beginning. This has been happening for so long that there's no traceable beginning. So I just wanted to take some time today to spend a few minutes talking about samsara. I believe that, as His Eminence Garchen Rinpoche said in one of his teachings, I'm paraphrasing, I might be slightly wrong, but he said, bodhicitta is the medicine that cures all ills. He said something like that, something that suggests that bodhicitta is the panacea or the cure-all, the silver bullet or the magic pill that cures all problems. And I believe that's something very interesting and something that is important for us to contemplate. Why would a master as profound as His Eminence Garchen Rinpoche say bodhicitta is the medicine that cures all ills? It's a question, right? We should really ask this question. So when we think about the fact that we are here in this samsara, which is marked by pain, suffering, impermanence, loss, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Today, I woke up and I went for my morning coffee here. I always make my coffee as soon as I wake up. And I usually take almond milk in my coffee. So I go, I take the carton and I shake it. Almond milk goes everywhere. It was like rain. And then, you know, I wasn't really awake yet. And I felt this sincere irritation and just like, now I have to wipe all this. I have a chronic sinus problem. So then I was thinking, I don't feel well and I'm having to clean this up. And then the thought came, oh, this is samsara. If you want to get out of samsara, you have to create the causes to get out of samsara. What are those causes? In a nutshell, bodhicitta. And bodhicitta is a vast topic which requires a great deal of unpacking. But you could say that bodhicitta is the, you know, by definition, the wish to attain Buddhahood in order to benefit all sentient beings. So it's this unselfish wish, may I become a Buddha so that I can benefit all infinite living beings. Not just the people I like, not just the people I know, not just, not just Democrats, if I'm a Democrat, or Republicans, if I'm a Republican, all infinite, inconceivable number of sentient beings. May I benefit all of them? That is the cure of samsara. So when we have difficulties, whether it's a loved one dying, or maybe we have romantic feelings for somebody who doesn't have romantic feelings for us, maybe we're going through a divorce, maybe our family members don't reciprocate our kindness, maybe we have illness, maybe we're sick. There's so many things that are happening in samsara. It can be very, very overwhelming. So when we think about samsara, we have to ask the question, are we ready to create the causes for happiness? And when I say create the causes for happiness, I'm talking about planting seeds that can potentially get us out of samsara. And what are those causes? Bodhicitta is the driving force that removes us from samsara. And bodhicitta's best friends are love and compassion. Love, compassion, and bodhicitta are the three amigos. If you have sincere bodhicitta, then you know that you must cultivate love and compassion for all living beings, because you cannot escape samsara until you create the antidotes for why we are here in samsara. So why are we here in samsara? Self-grasping and self-cherishing. For infinite previous lifetimes, we've had self-grasping. We've taken a self where there was no self, meaning we believe that there's an inherently existent self. We believe that this body and mind complex is independently existent, or intrinsically existent, or inherently existent. So we believe in a self. That's self-grasping. And then self-cherishing is cherishing the self above every other living sentient being. And in so doing, being willing to hurt others. If I get what I want, then that's okay if I harm others. So if we want to cut samsara off, if we want to escape samsara so that we can have bliss every moment of our existence and have the effortless ability to benefit infinite sentient beings, which is Buddhahood, right? That's what Buddhahood is. If we want to escape samsara, we have to plant the seeds and create the causes for that effect. If we don't create the causes for that effect, then nothing will happen. So I think when we start to get into the topic of samsara, I like to just personally, I think the most available material is all around us. Of course, you could take the practice that the masters, especially in Tibetan Buddhism, have taught us. Look at and contemplate all the realms of existence. Contemplate the hell beings, the hot hells, the cold hells. There's all these very highly detailed practices that we can do to contemplate samsaric existence, the hell realms, the hungry ghosts, the animals, the humans, the gods. And you know, so you have this vast array of realms that you can contemplate, but I'm a pragmatic person. And I believe in pragmatism, which means taking the things that are naturally available to each one of us and using those as a contemplative practice. And each one of us have known almost infinite pain in this one lifetime that we've had. And you just think back, I'm 43, but you know, depending on how many years you've been around, most likely you've had a lot of pain. And if you're a serious Buddhist, a serious spiritual seeker, Buddhist or otherwise, the likely reason for you coming was pain. Most of us who are practicing the Dharma in a real way have experienced a great deal of pain, and that got us the Dharma. That's why we came to the Dharma, to practice. And therefore, if you just look around at the world, there's a war going on in Ukraine. Russia invaded Ukraine, and there's a horrible, violent war. There's political unrest across the world, a lot of countries. America is less stable now than it's ever been, which is very sad. There's COVID. So you have wars, you have plagues. By the way, it's said that the Buddha and Guru Rinpoche Padmasambhava and many other learned masters and highly realized beings predicted these things were going to come. They said the age of weapons, the age of plagues, the age of, you know, global devastation, climate devastation, floods, fires. These things have kind of been foreseen by a lot of these masters. So you look around the world, there's a war in Russia, there's COVID, there's what else? Horrible climate change, forest fires, flooding. Those things, the war and the climate change, are leading to furthering of poverty, difficulty attaining food, water. There's so much suffering everywhere around us. And that's just what's going on in the container, if you will. The Buddhists call the environment or the world, the external world, the container. So that's just what's going on in the container. But just look at your own life. Look at all of the people that we loved who have died. My dad died in March. Now it's August, almost September. In a few days, it'll be September. And when a family member dies, even if we are practicing Buddhists, we still suffer great pain. And somehow we're still surprised, which is illogical. How can we be surprised when we do death and impermanence meditation all the time, but yet still we're surprised? And I just believe that is part of the samsaric makeup that we have. So all of this stuff that's happening, we cannot control it. Impermanent causes have produced impermanent results. So everything we see around us, all of the experiences we have, all of the trouble, the difficulty, the sadness, the anxiety, the heartache, the stress, all of this is part of the samsaric experience, which is marked by impermanence. Impermanent causes have produced everything that we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and think about. And since the causes of these things were impermanent, the effects are also impermanent. And that's karma. Karma is cause and effect. Now, since all of these things are impermanent, and since there are infinite causes that are producing everything we experience, A, we have no control because there's no solidity, there's no stability, there's no way for us to see what's coming. So we really don't have any security. What we really want is we want security, and we don't have security. And that's samsara. And, you know, there's different ways to look at this. One way is you can get really upset and stomp your feet and pound your fists and say, you did this. I hate you. Oh, this is horrible. My life's so bad. You could really allow samsara to defeat you. Or you can practice. Every time we pray, at least in Tibetan Buddhism, we say, until enlightenment, I take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And by the virtuous merit I've accumulated, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. What does that mean? Taking refuge in the Dharma, for example, is to say, I'm here, I'm trapped in samsara, but I'm going to take refuge in the Dharma because it gives me the answer. It gives me the solution. It gives me the way to escape this shit show, to escape this horrific movie that I'm watching around me, marked by war, forest fires, flooding, COVID, political unrest, hatred, judgment, behaviors, highly addictive, materialistic mentalities that have no interest in spirituality, selfishness. 99.9% of people are all about me, me, me. What can I get? That's what we are living in. So we have a couple ways to handle this samsaric experience. One way, of course, is to get defeated, or maybe to go and say, I'm going to go get drunk because it's fun. I'm going to go and do everything according to entertainment. I'm going to chase the cause. I'm going to chase these kind of like superficial causes for happiness. That's one way to do things. But then what you're doing is you're just furthering samsara along. You're not really changing anything. The other way to go about this is to practice the precious teachings of the Buddhas and all the masters, the lamas, the gurus, the bhantes, the ajahns, I'm sure there's some other names for perfect teachers, at least in Buddhism, that I don't know because I don't know all the different languages. The Mahasis, I think in Burma and Myanmar, there are lots of these teachers that are Mahasis, but I think they might be called Bhantes as well. But anyway, I digress. The point is practice, okay? So I think one of the simplest things that we can do is Tonglen, which is giving and taking. It's love and compassion. It's this attitude of courageous love and compassion for all living beings. It's kind of like this idea, may every second of my life benefit sentient beings. May every hour of my life benefit sentient beings. May every day, week, month, year, decade, lifetime, may every lifetime benefit sentient beings. May this lifetime and every future lifetime I have benefit sentient beings. So if we take up this attitude, it actually, in my personal experience, my personal highly unrealized experience, the attitude of bodhicitta is an antidote for more things than you might expect. I believe the attitude of love, compassion, and bodhicitta, and here, when I say bodhicitta, I'm really talking about love and compassion done for the specific intention. So you could say love and compassion kind of motivated by the wish to become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. And so it's this love and compassion that we take as a moment-to-moment mind state, thinking about others, again and again thinking about others. And so there's the formal practice of Tonglen, which, just to give you a glimpse, you visualize your precious mother and you think, she carried me for 9 months. She had infinite amount of pain and suffering. She had backaches. She vomited. She had dizziness. Her whole body was in pain. She had indigestion. Her food didn't digest. All of these things that a precious woman goes through when she carries a child. Our mother had all these things. And then she gave birth to us. And for 18 years, all she thought about was our welfare, our benefit. It was living presence was the epitome of unconditional love. By the way, some people have trouble with their mothers. So the masters say, pick somebody who has been very kind and loving to you, and that's fine. But here, I'm just saying most of us have good memories of our mother doing everything for us. So you take your mother, you do this contemplation, then you visualize your mother and you say, well, you've done so much for me, but yet you're still stuck in samsara. And so then you begin this practice of breathing white nectar light. It can be nectar, it can be light, breathing this white light into your mother. And the light symbolizes our body, wealth, and roots of virtue. Body meaning, like, picture a second body of your own going and helping your mother as her assistant to help her with her Dharma practice, by the way. So really, you want to make this the best generosity, according to Buddhism, is giving Dharma. Because if you give somebody a meal, you only help them for a short term. If you give them the precious Dharma, you help them for infinite future lifetimes. We should still help people with food and medicine, clothing, money, etc. But if you know the Dharma and you studied a lot, then giving Dharma is by far the most precious. But anyway, when you're doing this Tonglen, you're giving your body your wealth. So imagine giving all of your wealth away. And then your roots of virtue. So any Dharma accomplishments you have and understand, any kind act you've ever done, any positive karma, you give it all away to your mother. And then you visualize her becoming a Buddha. Visualize her practicing the Dharma for hours and months and years, just practicing, serious practice. Maybe one day your mother sits there for 14 hours practicing. So you do this. So this is a formal way to do the visualization. That's giving. Your giving is love. You're generously giving your body, your wealth, and your virtue, roots of virtue. When you take away all her negative karma that she's ever accumulated. So you visualize it as kind of like black smoke or this kind of dirty, filthy stuff coming out of your mother's chest. It comes, you can breathe it in. It comes in the nostrils. Goes down to the heart. Personally, when it comes down to the heart, I visualize a fire that burns and purifies that negative karma. And you can do that on the in-breath, and then on the out-breath, you breathe pure white light nectar that saturates every cell of your mother's body. And the masters teach us that we should really create a deep feeling of love and compassion for our mother. And really, you should feel it, and you should be moved to tears, and you should be a real palpable experience. And then once you have that experience thinking of your mother, then you could expand it out to all sentient beings. You can go through your family members if you like. Some masters teach you to do your enemies first and then do your loved ones. Some masters teach you to do your loved ones first and then your enemies. As far as I'm concerned, as long as we do it, it doesn't matter where you start, because different masters teach you different ways. But the point is, that's the formal way to practice Tonglen. And when you do it, they teach to do it first just as a visualization and get really comfortable thinking about giving these things to your mother, then your father, then your loved ones, then all living beings, etc. So first, kind of, you can do it as a visualization. And then once you get comfortable with it, you can do it as a visualization that rides the breath. So on the out-breath, you're doing the giving, and on the in-breath, you're doing the taking. The out-breath is the white light symbolizing everything I've said. The in-breath is the black light or black smoke or whatever, symbolizing the taking away of the suffering. And so that's the formal practice of Tonglen. And the Shamar Rinpoche, I believe he was the Red Hat Sharmapa. I think I'm saying that right. He's passed away, but he said in his book about Lojong that Tonglen, if you fervently and seriously practice Tonglen, you can attain the first Bodhisattva Bhumi in one lifetime, which is very precious, and it's a amazing accomplishment. So Tonglen is, it's a very powerful practice. And some of the masters have said, don't make the mistake of thinking that Tonglen is severely inferior to tantric practices, because that's really a wrong view. In fact, any tantric practice that's done without serious bodhicitta is said to be a wasted practice. It's, you're just going through the motions. You're not really accomplishing much benefit. So this bodhicitta should permeate all of our Dharma practice. And the giving and taking that I just explained is the formal Tonglen. And I gave you an extremely abbreviated version. Feel free to post and like and comment on this video, whether you're in YouTube or you're in one of my podcasts or you're in Facebook. And if you have a question, you can put a comment there and ask me if you want to learn more about Tonglen. But what I just gave you the abbreviated formal practice, but I wanted to talk about something else, which is once you understand Tonglen and then you understand bodhicitta and you know that samsara is marked by all these problems, the question is, what can we do about all of this past karma that we've created? You know, we all have desire, we have aversion, we have a desire. Some of us have serious desire for physical material objects, like we want money, houses, cars. Some of us have that kind of desire. Some of us have sexual desire. We have, you know, serious attraction to men and women, and that's kind of energy we need to deal with. Some of us have problems with anger. We get really angry in life. We have rage. We get mad. And then we say things to people and we have fights and quarrels, sometimes just verbal quarrels, sometimes physical, you know, violent fights. There are all different problems that we suffer from. And back to what I said about Garchen Rinpoche saying that bodhicitta is the single medicine that cures all ills. So in our day-to-day life, we can actually creatively implement Tonglen and Lojong practices by just thinking, okay, right now I'm walking. So let's say you are walking. You can think to yourself right now, infinite sentient beings are on my left and on my right and behind me, and I'm walking them all directly to Buddhahood. So every time you walk, you can think that. When you pee, I know this is going to sound funny. When you pee, you can visualize. By the way, I made all this stuff up. I just creatively thought about ways to, a couple masters have said, you can do this. And they gave like one example. I think one master said, when you wash your hands, imagine you're washing samsaric suffering off of all sentient beings. And then I kind of took the creative liberty to create different ways to think about this. So when you pee, there's always a good Dharma teaching when the teacher starts talking about when you pee. When you pee, visualize beautiful white nectar coming out and going into the toilet. Or if you're in the forest, going on the trees, wherever you are, you're visualizing as you pee. Imagine you're giving all of your body wealth and roots of virtue to every sentient being. And as a result of that gift, all living beings become enlightened Buddhas and all their suffering goes away. So you can, even your peeing can become the Dharma. When you wash your hands, like I said, visualize you're taking all the suffering, all the dirt, you know, as you wash your hands to clean your hands, you're taking away all the dirt from all sentient beings and bringing it into your own heart. And then it goes down the drain and it eliminates all the negative karma for every sentient being. When you eat food, you can, Garchen Rinpoche taught this, you can visualize that there are, you know, infinite million, you know, millions of microscopic bacteria beings that live inside of our bodies. And when you eat, it's an offering to all of them. I've heard another type of offering. When you eat, visualize a Buddha in your throat, and all the food that you eat is offered to the Buddha. And it goes down into your body. A very pragmatic thing that I like to do is when I eat, I imagine every living being is eating nutritious food with me, and nobody's left out. Every single living being is eating with me. And as you eat, just make the deep wish, may they have any enjoyment that I experience, may they have it. I give it to them. I'm eating this, it tastes good, give it to them. And they're all eating with us. When you listen to Dharma teachings, visualize every sentient being, starting with your mother on your left, your father on your right, and all of your aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters and grandparents are behind you. And then everybody in your town is behind them. All living beings are behind them. Infinite number of beings are with you listening to the Dharma. When you do chanting of mantras, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, all living beings are chanting with you, and there's a Chenrezig above their head, dripping pure white light into them. So we can make it so that everything we do is done with the thought of benefiting other sentient beings, right? And that is a very pragmatic way to manage samsara. And what personally, what I've experienced, I'm a person with lots of emotional afflictions, lots of mental addictions. And when I maintain strong bodhicitta, like all these things I'm telling you, when I do those things myself, I discover that my desire energy for you know, food or good food or women or sex or entertainment, TV, whatever, my desire energy goes down. I start to forget about that. Any anger that I might have goes down. And I feel very light and happy and joyful. And so I believe that bodhicitta, as His Eminence Garchen Rinpoche taught, and many, many masters teach this, bodhicitta is the ground upon which any practice is done. I believe from personal experience, and again, I'm not very realized, so just as a little glimmer of a taste of what Garchen said, I've tasted enough to know that he is completely right. He doesn't need me to say that. You guys all know that this, if you know Garchen, you know he is very extraordinary. That's all I can really say, is he's very different and extraordinary. To me, he's a Buddha in human flesh. And I actually really believe that. But anyway, the point is, when you carry this bodhicitta with you and you kind of almost make everything you do, you try to create creative ways to do that, to creative ways to practice giving and taking, then you start to forget about anger. You start to forget about all of these other things that are what got us here in the first place. All of these addictions and anger, attachment, delusion, jealousy, pride, anxiety, sadness, a feeling of discontent, a feeling of loneliness, a feeling of not being fulfilled. All of those problems were created as a result of our past samsaric behavior. And so now we're living them, we're experiencing them. And if we keep responding the same way, we're never going to get out of samsara. We're never going to be happy. Nothing's ever going to change. So it's very important. If you want to be happy, it's very important to create the causes for happiness. The other thing is, when all of these samsaric problems are arising, just accept it. This is samsara. Accept that it's going to be a bumpy road. Joseph Goldstein, the great American Buddhist teacher, I think he's the founder of the Insight Meditation Society out in Massachusetts, USA. He said that dukkha, which is another word for suffering, or, you know, there are a lot of different translations, but dukkha is the word originated from a wagon wheel. So if you visualize a wagon wheel and they have spokes, there's like a spoke hub, and then there's spokes going out in every direction. You visualize this wagon wheel, and then imagine one spoke is out of its groove, and you're riding in this ox cart. And since the spoke is not properly fastened the way it's supposed to be inside of the groove, the experience of riding along in that wagon wheel is extremely bumpy. So this analogy or metaphor is the idea of dukkha. So we are living dukkha. We are living samsara. It should not be a surprise to any of us, especially if we practice dharma. It should not be a surprise to any of us that this is the way samsara is. And therefore, please don't be surprised. Please understand that samsara is the identifying characteristic of samsara is suffering. impermanence and suffering, separating from our loved ones, separating from the material items we want, getting the things we don't want, health problems, sickness, anxiety. There's just infinite number of problems. And we should take the mentality of, this is samsara. This is all going to come up. One thing that helps is remembering it's impermanent. Everything that arises is going to be impermanent. There's no reason to cling to any of this. It's only going to be here, you know, momentarily. Soon it will pass. So there's really no need to cling to something that's so impermanent. If you're suffering, just look at it as a momentary one domino out of a million. The dominoes keep hitting the next domino. That's what this all is it's just, or it's just a waterfall. Whatever suffering we're experiencing is a river or a waterfall. Let it go on past and then you'll be okay. But with the happiness, don't cling to the happiness either. You think you're in a great relationship, don't cling to that partner. You think you have a great job, don't cling. You got a little bit of money, don't cling to it. Whatever happiness comes, don't cling because it's momentary. It's like a waterfall. It's like the river running by you. It's only there for an instant, for 1 second, one snap, then it's gone. So if we let go of everything, then all this samsaric stuff can come up. And if we don't cling to it, then we can purify it. We can purify all that past negative karma. But the problem is most of us cling to it. So the stuff we like, we grab it and we want to keep it. The stuff we don't like, we push it away and get mad about it. And that habitual pattern of behavior is what causes so much suffering. So if we want to get, you know, kind of get out of samsara, the bodhicitta that I talked about earlier is very important. The understanding that samsara is marked by problems and suffering, and we should not be surprised when bad things happen. We should just say, oh, that's samsara teaching me. Samsara has come to me as my lama, my guru, my teacher, giving me the gift of, hey, everything the Buddha said is true. Samsara really is a big fire of pain and suffering. That's what it is. So when we experience these problems, we should just say, aha, samsara is my teacher. And if you want to get out of samsara, just remember everything is temporary. Everything is impermanent. If you're having a really difficult time, soon it will get better. Don't be too worried about it. If you're having a great time, soon it will go away. So don't get too happy about it. Take the middle way. Be balanced. Feel free to enjoy stuff, but just don't cling to it. Feel free to, if, you know, pain is coming, feel free to look at it and say, oh, that's just temporary pain. Soon it will pass. Then you feel more freedom. You're not so bound by these things that are happening. Okay. So I really wanted to share some of these simple, pragmatic ways that you can apply the process of Lojong and more specifically Tonglen giving and taking. And please feel free to make up your own little ideas. When I watch TV, I sometimes visualize giving and taking to the actors on the screen, and I contemplate their kindness and I think about how kind they were to create that entertainment. If you listen to music, think about how kind the musician was to give us the music. If you eat, if you put on clothes in the morning, every time you put on clothes, you could think, oh, how beautiful. I'm so grateful that these people made these clothes for me, right? If you're using Facebook or YouTube or what any, if you're using anything on your phone, your apps, your software, anything, you could think how wonderful the programmers that built these things are giving them to me, especially Facebook and YouTube are free. Technically, I realize they're ad-driven. They're not really free. We are actually the products. We're the payment. But the point is, everything we do all day long can be marked by love, compassion, gratitude, and remembering the kindness of others, and then trying to keep them in mind and take their suffering and give your love to them, okay? I realize this was a long 40-minute talk. I dedicate the merit of this Dharma practice and this Dharma offering and this Dharma teaching to all living beings. As a result of this teaching, may every living being become a fully enlightened Buddha. Okay? Bye. Love you all. Take care.